Dr. King had a dream, and many will say that we've fallen well short of it today. We'll reflect on Dr. King. We'll also reflect on Keith Jackson and what he's meant to many of us who have chosen to pursue their dreams in broadcast. And we'll take time to look at the great people of Minnesota who watched a miracle that we have not seen, the tackle that's been heard around the world that allowed the Vikings to advance to the NFC Championship. We'll also reflect on what's happening with Tomlin and the Steelers. They fell short once again after keeping their eye on the Patriots and forgetting about the Jags. And that reminded me of a great orator, NFL orator, Bill Belichick. And I think the Steelers can heed these words, that you just need to do your job, and I will add, shut your mouth. We'll get into all of that tonight on RSG One Mic.
Radio.
This thing right here,
yeah.
Is for my people in the streets.
Yes, today. You know, as we start this show, this One Mic.
There is a pause throughout the stadium as this man sounds like he just coughs up a lung. They're looking around the Jumbotron shows and fans, the cheerleaders, and as it goes down each cheerleader's face, each one breaks up into laughter, which at this particular time destroys half the stadium. The other half is still trying to figure out what the hell just happened. Does this guy need CPR or something? And then at that particular time, I lost it. Devon Drup.
Yes. Today, this One Mic.
Phoenix is another place. They got a great training staff. I mean, they were able to breathe life back into Shaq. And if you can do that, then the people talk a lot about their tiny stuff.
Yes, today, you know, as we start this show, this One Mic.
America is essentially a dream. It is a dream of a land where men of all races, of all nationalities and of all creeds can live together as brothers. The substance of the dream is expressed in these profound words. We hold these truths to be self-evident, that all men are created equal.
Welcome to RSG One Mic, and those are the words of one of the greatest civil rights leaders of all time, Dr. Martin Luther King Jr. And tonight, you know, we'll dedicate our show, you know, as usual here on RSG, we always have fun, but, you know, we like to make sure that, you know, I know for myself and Hank and all the fellows who are part of this platform, you know, it's folks like Dr. King that put us in a space where we can actually do what we do and follow something that we really love to do and create the space. You know, that, you know, this is a country that if you have passion and the will and there's opportunity that you can pursue your dream. And I know there's some crazy things going on today, but that's a dream that we all still hold on. And so we have a lot of fun tonight talking about a lot of NFL football, but we would be remiss if we did not acknowledge the special day that we have here and what it means for us to just love thy neighbor, look out for injustice and to face up against injustice, because injustice anywhere is injustice everywhere. And so we do that, you know, and we always carry that spirit with us here on RSG One Mic. So welcome, if you're the first time listening, this is RSG One Mic. This is where we take an issue deep. We usually have a theme. There are times we might bring a special guest on to be a part of it. If you have a chance, check out Real Sports Guys platform. You can connect and listen to our other podcast, our platform, our big show with Phil, Marcus, and myself. That's like a seminar at a barbershop. And then we have some specialty podcasts. We have one, Hustle and Flow, that is this intersection between hip-hop and sports. Our main man, Fed Koo, who does his annual hip-hop review, has posted. It is posted for 2017. Go to realsportsguys.com. He's got an incredible theme, so we look forward to him talking a little bit more about that. But his theme is, if you would look at the albums that were put out this year, many quarterbacks have been hurt, and the importance of the offensive line, how would you build your offensive line based on the albums? It's a great theme in which the way in which he does. He's a brilliant person, and we're fortunate to have him as part of this. We look forward to even having him on all of our RC platforms over the next few weeks talking about this. But they will definitely do a deep dive on Hustle and Flow. And then we have our other specialty one, which is called Inside the Park, which Hank, who will come on in a few minutes to talk to you, does. And all our hosts and all our callers are brought to you by Carbon World Health, your complete solution for fitness, health, and beauty. Go to carbonworldhealth.com to connect with Dr. Nestor Rodriguez and his staff to learn more about lifestyle medicine. Tell them that the Real Sports Guys sent you. You can catch us at RSG.com, and you can catch us at RSG on all platforms and on iTunes. I don't think all of you for the feedback you've been giving us. But before I move on, I want to bring my guy and my partner. We kind of run this pick and roll together. My man, Hank Davis. How you doing, Hank?
So let freedom ring from the prodigious hill stops of New Hampshire. Let freedom ring from the mighty mountains of New York. Let freedom ring from the heightening Alleghenies of Pennsylvania. Let freedom ring from the snow-capped Rockies of Colorado. Let freedom ring from the curvaceous slopes of California. But not only that, let freedom ring from the Stone Mountain of Georgia. Let freedom ring from the Lookout Mountains of Tennessee. Let freedom ring from every hill and every molehill of Mississippi and every mountainside. Let freedom ring. When we allow freedom to ring, we let it ring from every city, from every hamlet, from every state, from every city. We're able to speed up that day when all of God's children, black men and white men, Jews and Gentiles, Protestants and Catholics, will be able to join hands and sing in the words of their old Negro spiritual, "Free at last, free at last. Thank God Almighty, we are free at last." Martin Luther King, 55 years ago, D, 55 years ago.
Yeah.
Okay?
Yeah.
We're still trying to find that freedom, boss. And I am very passionate today, especially with all of the events that has happened over the course of the last 3 days in this country. You know, we're built on these truths to be self-evident. You just played that clip where all men are created equal. And you know, it is a shame that even 55 years ago and even to today, that we're still fighting that struggle, my brother, you know. But I'm glad that we started the show this way, and I'm glad we have this forum, this opportunity to be able to take a few moments, folks, to just be able to reflect back, to understand that these things that we do, even this radio show, this the opportunity, this freedom of speech, you know, it came at a price. It came at the price of those who are no longer here. You know, I think about this day, Martin Luther King Day. We're celebrating this great man's birthday, a day that, you know, for a lot of folks is represented by a day, a time off, and this sort of thing. And yet we still have people in Congress that when it was brought about that they make this day a national holiday, voted against it. Voted against it, even though knowing the significance of this man and the history that he is to the United States and to the world. But, you know, we take this time, again, as I just read, let freedom ring. Free at last, free at last. Thank God Almighty. And one day, we'll be free at last.
That's right. Well said, well said, well said. You know, Man, yeah, I got chills. I had chills when you opened it like that, brother. And you know, this is an incredible time. You know, in America, it's a place. You know, throughout the history of that time, you know, people in the world of sports were part of that movement. And so, you know, we see ourselves in our RSG platform. We definitely have a social conscious aspect to it. I would be remiss if I didn't throw a shout out to my brother and let him tell us how we feel.
Reclaiming my time.
Yes, Maxine Waters said all she needed to say this weekend. I heard her speak about the event this weekend. So we have those people, those heroes who continue to be out there pushing the envelope, not letting folks just say whatever they want to say. And so so we're going to get into sports because that's what we're going to do. But you kind of know where we're coming from, and we'll tap in this spirit all the way through the show. And Hank, thank you again for your words. That's one of the reasons why I love doing this. You know, every time we go on the air, it's one of those things that it inspires me and gets me back in, making sure I'm sharper and ready to go even more, because you always have the right thing to say at the right moment. This has been a crazy, crazy week of football. It feels like the National Championship Day game was like 3 weeks ago, man. So much has happened in the world of football. Man, and so we'll spend in our one mic a lot talking about football this week, both college and professional football. But there's just been a lot of exciting stuff, and I've been waiting to hear Hank's perspective. Those of y'all who have not had a chance to hear Hank do his thing, you can have a treat over his time with us. And so, you know, hold on, put your seatbelt on. We're about to go in it. You know, we're in a freestyle dialogue of one mic right now where we kind of throw out some topics. And one thing before I move forward, I wanted to, you know, someone, and I think Hank can relate to this, as someone who always wanted to be in broadcast journalism. I mean, it's one of the things people think that you just pick this up as a hobby. You know, as an undergraduate, I went to a small liberal arts college. Many of y'all have heard over time that, you know, Boyd College, small college in, you know, southern Wisconsin, great school, game changer went there, as well as Phil with there. And we all, three of us, engaged in broadcast media training when we were there. The thing about, we were there at different times. And so when I was there, I'm oldest of the three of us. They had a theater program with an emphasis in broadcast, but I've always was interested. And one of the people who always got me into it, there's a number of things. I loved the opening to Monday Night Football. It was giving me chills, and I was going to be a technical producer and, you know, kind of getting that stuff going. But Keith Jackson, I couldn't wait to sit down and watch a football game and have – you knew it was a big game when Keith was doing it. And one of the best moments, I think, you know, what I call a sports moment, is I was a senior in college from Ann Arbor, Michigan. I was going back. A good friend of mine, P.J. Bowman, played for the Flying Illini. He was, I would say, pretty much a sixth man off the bench on that team that went to the Final Four. Incredible player, good friend of mine. We grew up, we played football together, basketball together. So they were playing in Ann Arbor. That was his last game. Illinois was coming back. And that was Kendall Gill, when I think one of Kendall Gill's first games back. And we had told the story previously when we were talking a little bit about Steve Fisher and some other stuff. But it was that day. So we were going back to the game for that game that ended up being the incredible moment where Bo Schembechler comes out and says, you know, after Bill Frieda says he's going to Arizona State, he said he's going to have a Michigan man coach the Michigan team, and Fisher became coach. So it was that game. So we're coming in for practice the Friday before the game. So we get out of this car, and we're walking towards, me and my friend Corey, we're walking towards Chrysler Arena, and we see this probe. Now, back then, the probe was the car. Everybody wanted a probe. So this tall guy is getting out of this probe, and I'm thinking, who is this? We get a little closer, it was David Robinson. For those of y'all might not remember, David Robinson didn't go right into the pros. He had to, because he was in the military, there was delay when he entered the pros, so he spent time actually broadcasting college basketball. So, and I'm like, who is he walking in with? It was Keith Jackson. And I almost, you know, one of the things when you see a guy that you, so I'd be like, you know, after you, people forget Keith Jackson did basketball for a little bit. And so we're walking in, we say, you know, hi to him. He's very nice to us. We're like walking into the tunnel with him and with David Robinson. It was just one of those moments. He was going to be announcing the game. And that was a game where, you know, we got more stories about that night. Illinois players were hanging out, having a good time. I was like, I couldn't believe they did that night for the game. They went out and just ran Michigan off the floor. And I remember Glenn being quite upset after that loss because, you know, a lot of us knew Glenn and a lot of the guys who played at Michigan at that time. I knew the guys in Illinois. But the moment at that time was walking in with Keith Jackson. And, again, when it comes to any announcing, but when it came to announcing college football, he was Woe Nelly. When you it was like, you know, you see Oklahoma, Nebraska, whatever it was, you know, he is a pioneer. He is he's a Mount Rushmore for me. And he seemed like someone who was just always genuine. And I feel honored that I was at least able to be in a space and say hi and meet with him. It kind of kept that fire for me wanting to find a way at some point to do what we're doing now. So, you know, I think if anyone who is, you know, related in this kind of business, if, you know, if you're not paying homage to someone like Keith Jackson, you're missing it all. And I know, you know, as I think about Hank and, you know, your training in this area as well, I'm sure he's someone that was an influence.
You know what? I love Keith Jackson. Keith Jackson was a throwback announcer, if you know that, broadcaster. But back in the day, I'm going to say in the before times, you know, where we didn't have ESPN, do you know this, when we didn't have all these different networks, where you didn't have college football on 4 or 5 days a week during the season. You had Saturdays. You only had Saturday. And you only had maybe one station back then. Okay? And if you had ABC, you had Keith Jackson doing the big game of the week. Let me tell you a little story that I thought you was going to get it, but you didn't get it, but that's okay. I appreciate you leaving it for me. Right now, if you were to walk the streets of Ann Arbor during football season, you're going to see somebody who's got on a T-shirt or something that says, "Welcome to the Big House." You're going to see somebody that has something that says Big House Football. Keith Jackson coined the phrase. He coined the phrase, yeah. The Big House. If we all remember ABC at 12 o'clock, the stadium would be packed. And then they would do a flyover of Michigan Stadium. Keith Jackson will come on and says, "You're looking live at the Big House here in Ann Arbor, Michigan, where the Wolverines will be taking on the Ohio State Buckeyes or whoever else." But he called it the Big House, and he coined that phrase for the University of Michigan. And they have taken it, and they ran with it. Keith Jackson was the originator of that. Keith Jackson, when I hear his voice, I'm always put in mind, and you kind of mentioned it yourself. You think of old-time college football rivals, which are kind of gone today in the day of the mega conferences and all. But you knew Keith Jackson was going to be there when Oklahoma played Nebraska, when USC played UCLA, when Alabama played Auburn. And how about this one? You folks probably don't remember this one. When Arkansas played Texas A&M. All right? These were the games that you looked forward to. You know, when Notre Dame played USC, Keith Jackson was there. One of the greatest USC Notre Dame games I've ever seen in my life. Keith Jackson was broadcasting that game. D, this is going back when Anthony Davis was the featured running back for USC.
Right.
This is going back when I was a kid. And that was one of the he made you a college football fan because he drew you in. You could watch every game. You knew it was going to be broadcasted perfectly. And he just had you sucked in, and you became a fan of teams that today – I couldn't imagine myself being a fan of. I couldn't imagine myself being a fan of Nebraska. I can't imagine myself being a fan of Notre Dame. Couldn't imagine myself being a fan of USC. But guess what? The way Keith Jackson called a game, that became your second and third favorite team because he just drew you in. You felt like you went to school there. When you saw USC play UCLA, you felt like you were in the stands, man. That was a great feeling growing up watching, listening to him. You know, it's a great loss in the broadcasting world. But his voice really did. He was the voice and still will always be the voice of college football.
Well said, well said, well said. And so, you know, we pay tribute to these landmark figures, both in the world of civil rights and humanity and the world of sports, as we kick off this RSG One Mic. But the title of our show today is Do Your Job. You know, people might be saying that to folks in D.C. They might be saying that to folks around their office. They might be saying it to whomever. But the theme of the day is do your job, and we'll get to the heart of that theme when we start talking a little bit of NFL. But we want to put a bow on this college football season because, you know, Hank and I haven't had a chance to really connect a little bit since the title game. We did our last podcast right before the title game. Incredible, incredible ending to that title game. And I know Hank and I were going back and forth, you know, texting a little bit. Out of it, a lot of speculation about future of Saban with all these changes in the NFL. Conversations about, you know, rankings for next year. And I want to talk a little bit about, you know, just some of the projected rankings of who people see and some of the polls that I've seen. But, Hank, the ending to that championship, I'm dying
to
try to save it.
You know what? Let me tell you something.
You let that young man talk to me.
What did I tell you the week before? I said Nick Saban is going to come up with something in the second half of that ball game. Did we not talk about that the week before?
You said it. You said it.
I said, got to be careful because Nick Saban is not afraid to do something to win. Now, clearly, let's go back to that game. And it was a fabulous game. You know, basically, it was the SEC Championship 2.0 is what we watched. But it was a great football game. Georgia came out and they showed their mettle. They showed their mettle. They weren't afraid of Alabama. But Kirby Smart, Kirby. You got to play to win, brother, especially against the master. You got to play to win. You got to play to win. You cannot play not to lose. You can't play not to lose. What you did was you took the Atlanta Falcons playbook from the second half of the Super Bowl, and you implemented it yourself, and you found yourself on the short end of a game you should have won in regulation. Shame on you. And let me give you why. All right? You brought this young quarterback in. All he knows how to do is throw the football. Okay? It was clear to everybody who watched that game, D, that Jalen Hurts couldn't get it done. They had him confused. He couldn't get the ball down the field. Nick threw caution to the wind. He said, this kid knows how to chuck it down the field. We got to get these linebackers off the line of scrimmage. We're going to go for it. I watched the game in the second half where it had to have been 7 or 8 consecutive plays where this kid just dropped back and threw the ball. 7 or 8 consecutive plays, he just dropped back and threw the ball. Not one time did Georgia's defense adjust. Did not one time they bring the blitz. Not one time did they put any pressure on this kid. And he picked them apart. Okay? Alabama has a professional offensive line, man. And they didn't do anything to put pressure on this kid. He picked them apart. Secondly, on offense, again, Kirby, you played not to lose. You had at least five. No, I'm sorry. We're going to say three consecutive drives. Three consecutive drives, D, didn't even try to put the ball up. Didn't even try to score. I'm just going to keep handing the ball off like I'm going to run off 17 minutes of this ball game on this defense. Unbelievable. Unbelievable. Then you get to overtime, and you said do your job. The safety, you got one job. You got one job. You don't let nobody get behind you. Where are you going? Where are you going? This was a game that Georgia will go away from. I went away from it, and I knew Alabama wasn't going to give up. You don't give up winning the championships that Nick Saban has won. You got to keep the foot on your neck, and you got to keep fighting all the way through it. That team quit. The coaching staff, again, they took their foot off the gas. They played not to lose, and Nick Saban was desperate. He brought in a freshman to throw the ball down the field, throw the ball down the field, throw the ball down the field. And Georgia, for some reason, unfathomable to me, never adjusted. The kid only had a handful of plays, and they never adjusted. Not a blitz, not nothing to put pressure on that kid to force him into just one mistake, okay, even on the play where he chucked it down the field. He had one receiver going down the field. I don't know what the safety was doing. But it was a fabulous game. It was a very entertaining game. But watching it from where I'm watching it, and I don't think I'm the smartest guy in the room, but I got two pair of eyes like everybody else, and I couldn't understand what the coaches was missing that I seen.
Yeah, I mean, I think, you know, a couple of things. First of all, I'm going to say the best way to watch the national championship game is with the film room with the coaches. That was a great way to watch the game and get feedback, because a lot of things they were saying, one thing they said, and I was noticing, is that they were wondering why Georgia was playing cover two, because it didn't look like the players were comfortable playing cover two.
Right.
And if you look at it, the guy, when you look at the last play, he beat cover two. And so, these two deep, it looked like they were playing like a man under two deep. Like they were just playing straight cover two. So the thing again is play what got you there, right? And you have incredible speed at linebacker. You have great cover guys. Make it difficult for him to throw. Don't play a lot of zone or come after him. They came after Baker Mayfield more than they came after this young man.
That's my point.
You know, it was one thing. One of the things I told you the difference I thought about the Georgia game and who was going to win is I just felt like Kirby was a little bit more relaxed. This was the moment where I saw things change and I learned something new about Saban. So you got this freshman on the field. He had a pass. I don't know if he threw a pick, but something happened. And he came on the sidelines. He had his arm around Saban walking down. It was like he was calming Saban down. Right. He was calming Saban up, and I've never seen a player do that to Saban. And Saban was like being controlled. And this kid was like, I'm like, there's something about this kid that Saban likes, and there's something here. I knew he had a great education coming out of high school. First of all, from Hawaii to Alabama, and all the reasons why he got to Alabama, whole other story. But then when this kid got sacked, I'm like, oh, it's over. And then he turns around after getting sacked and throws that touchdown. I'm like, the thing you did not want Saban to do is get a great quarterback. Like, that's when the college football world was like, we all playing for second. Because your only hope to beat Saban in the past was that he would hamstrung his quarterback. And he would almost let you back in it if you had a great team. But after watching this kid, I was like, this is what college football did not want to see him get, is a quarterback who probably can be a Heisman Trophy candidate here pretty quickly. And Jalen Hurts took it. But
let me say this to you right quick, okay? Because what we saw was, is he a great quarterback? He made some fine throws, but I want you to go back if you get a chance and watch how much pressure was on him, all right? And from what I've seen Georgia's defense really go and stop playing aggressive football, all right? When they decided to pressure that kid, he made mistakes, like the sack, like the interception. And for some reason, they sat back in that zone. Anytime you sit back in the zone and give a quarterback who's got a decent arm chance to scan the field, and you got those receivers that Alabama has with that speed, you're going to beat somebody. And he has a cannon. On that last touchdown, what he did was just step back. He didn't even look. I mean, he looked off the receiver, and there wasn't another receiver on the other side. I don't know what the safety was doing. He just looked him off and then just chucked it down the field. Is he a great quarterback? I think the jury is out on that. I don't know. I wouldn't say that
well,
yet.
Well, one thing is,
I think what you saw was. Huh?
He's a former five-star quarterback. So he was the star in the Elite 11. So he got skill. So that's not they've been wanting to bring him in forever. I mean, Saban's been wanting to bring him in all year. But you got Jalen Hurst, you know. And so there was no reason for him. He couldn't find a way to bring this kid in. But I mean, from all accounts, everybody knew this kid was good. And I mean, looking at him in the Elite 11 competition he was in. I mean, he's a flat-out superstar. So, you know, but then you put him in the moment. Like, this is a kid that he's going in the second half of a national championship game, and that says everything about it. What, you know, he probably got some preparation, but he didn't get a lot. And for him to play like he's going to play, like, think about when you got a whole spring camp with him, you know, preseason, and he comes into the year, he's starting, because he's going to have to start. It's not like you're going to go back to Jalen Hurts. You can't. And that's the thing about it is, like, you know, if you're Jalen Hurts, what do you do? I mean, Jalen Hurts is
transfer.
You know, a
podcast. Transfer.
He's going to have to transfer. You know, he's going to have to do something. So it's like.
Yeah, he's going to have to transfer. Yeah. I mean, I think that with Jalen Hurts, there's a lot of teams right there in the SEC. And dare I even say in the Pac-12 that he could go to right now and make a difference with. You know, you got Arizona out there that's got a brand new coach with Kevin Sumlin. They just hired him in there. He'll be a great addition his last two seasons for a team like that. So I don't think he stays. I think the writing's on the wall with him. And if he thinks he has anything, he's not going to play running back for Alabama, not with that stable they have. So I think that unless he just is resigned to being the backup after being a starter for 2 years, which I really can't see, I think he probably transfers out west someplace.
Yeah, and if he stays, he's basically Tim Tebow as a freshman, meaning that when they get in the red zone, they bring Jalen Hurts in. I mean, at that point,
right,
Alabama becomes very difficult to play against. So he becomes
right,
Tim Tebow with a better arm. So that makes you – that puts you in a real – I mean, from a college football standpoint, that's a dream for Saban. But you're right. I mean, I think no one would be against him if he decided to transfer. There's just too much momentum with this young man coming. You know, I mean, Saban will say everything about a competition, but don't end up like the Ohio State quarterbacks where none of them kind of came out smelling right. So you're right.
Right.
You know, I think, you know, you got your championship. You did everything. You got them to the championship twice. You know, at a certain point, you got to be like, I gave Alabama what I need to give. It seems like I'm handing it off, and I'll transfer and do it. But he did everything so gracefully, you know, as you would hope that somebody would do, keeping his eye on the prize on the bigger thing. But yeah, so then there's talk about Saban. You know, obviously Saban is saying he's gonna stay. You know, but you got the Giants job out there. And I feel like the question I had on for us is that, you know, should Saban tap into his inner Pete Carroll? You know, I think one of the things, even though Pete Carroll had a lot of success at SC, and obviously he had other things kind of motivating him to get out of there with the investigation and everything that Saban doesn't have, but you always knew Pete Carroll didn't like the way his NFL career ended. And then he had a chance to go back to Seattle, right situation. Obviously got a Super Bowl out of it, you know, it's been very successful in the NFL. Do you see Saban, you know, he's up in age, making one more run at the NFL, regardless of everything that you hear him say publicly?
I don't see where his motivation would be at this point. He has taken all of this time to build Alabama into a super dynasty, all right? If he goes to the NFL, you got to believe that he's going to a team that's lacking a lot. okay? He's not going to go to a team that he can turn around in 2 or 3 years, I don't believe, okay? If you look at some of the situations out there, you're looking at the Bears, you're looking at the Giants, which is very attractive to a lot of coaches. But look, you have an aging quarterback there. Your team is not playing the same defense. You've got personalities over there like ODB, OBJ. I'm sorry. And it's just like, come on, how is that going to work? Okay, and this is what you got to deal with in the NFL. You've got all of these millionaires. You got these corporations that you're trying to coach versus these kids who's trying to become corporations. You have a lot more control. You have a lot more autonomy. Nick Saban, like you said, you know, he's an aging coach. He's 67, 68 years old. He didn't have the career that Bill Belichick. Him and Bill Belichick's close to the same age. But Bill Belichick has made his niche, okay? He's always been in the pros. Nick Saban did not fare so well. For him, I can't see him at this point when he can win him another championship right off into the sunset. They can make him AD if he chooses to be. You know, he's made his name in Alabama. Why leave? There's no incentive, really, D. I mean, the money is good. One of the highest paid, if not the highest paid coach in college football. And the NFL, you know, that's not the big prize like it used to be for a lot of these coaches, because a lot of these coaches like to have control over their program. And a lot of these coaches now that used to be NFL coaches is starting to really find their way in the college game because the money is good and they have total control over their programs. So I can't see Nick Saban giving that away at a shot at like the Giants or somebody where in 2 years I could see him doing more like Steve Spurrier or Bobby Petrino than Pete Carroll.
Mm-hmm. Well, you know, we're going to stay tuned. You know, there's going to be a lot of rumors. Anytime he's winning like he's winning, you know, people are going to speculate a lot. You're like, I agree, he's got it good there, man. Sometimes you just stick with it and do what you got to do and ride that wave all the way into the sunset. But now, you know, people are projected for next year. You know, Kirby Smart getting loaded with his recruiting class. Some projection I'm seeing has Georgia number one, Alabama number two, Clemson number three, Ohio State four, Auburn 5, Wisconsin in that 6th spot, preseason, Penn State, Oklahoma, Miami, Virginia Tech, with USC and Michigan State, Notre Dame sitting on the outside looking in. And then you got another group of LSU, UCF, Washington, Stanford, TCU, Florida State, Memphis. South Carolina is kind of in that bottom 20 to 25 with Michigan and Boise State. A couple people saying, you know, Boise State have a couple things going right. They could push up there. Big question people have with Michigan is who they're going to have at quarterback. I think that's what's killing them in terms of their draft. Texas, they're just trying to figure out what kind of jump Tom Herman will make. You know, now he's got some run going. And so, you know, any one of these teams can kind of flip here soon, depending on some things going well. But obviously, you know, Alabama, Clemson, and Georgia are cream of the crop right now. With you know that Ohio State, Auburn, and Wisconsin staying in the conversation, depending on how Alex Hornibrook does. And also Penn State is there. So there's you know some of the usual suspects. As you're looking into next year, you know, is there something on that list or some people or teams that you think could creep up there if things go right?
You know, first of all, I'm kind of surprised at how high they have Penn State with Saquon Barkley.
Yeah, I was surprised with Penn State and Michigan State. Yeah, go ahead.
Yeah, I mean, with Saquon Barkley declaring it for the draft, I'm surprised they have him as high. Ohio State, I think, is going on reputation because they got the same issue that Michigan has as far as quarterback. Okay, you got the winningest quarterback in your program history in JT Barrett, and now he's gone. And you got to break in a new quarterback. And what we know here in Ann Arbor is it's easier said than done. Okay, same thing with Oklahoma. You know, what are these teams going to be now? Georgia, I understand. Alabama, I understand. Clemson, I understand. I get that. TCU, is a team I'm surprised with that they have rate as low as they do, simply because TCU, you know, they made some noise. They're one of the few teams in the Pac-12 that plays defense, and they can score some points, you know. And with Oklahoma trying to replace Baker Mayfield, Oklahoma State trying to reload, I'm surprised TCU is as low as they are. I'm also surprised at how low Michigan is. Michigan's got their entire defense coming back versus last year, this year coming in. Nobody knew what that defense was going to be. They know that's going to be a world-class defense. They know they're going to have a better offensive running game. Now, all their running backs are back. Their receivers are back. So, you know, I believe with that ranking, I think you have a lot of folks that's knocking Jim Harbaugh right now. I think the way you see Michigan ranked is the Jim Harbaugh narrative, and it's not really speaking on to the talent of the team. But the teams that again, surprised me, that when I look at Auburn, okay, that's another team. Because Stidham, from what I understand, is, wasn't he a senior this year? The transfer from Baylor?
Well, he's returning for a senior year. So.
Okay, he's returning, so they're going to be a formidable team. Now, that's a team that beat both Alabama and Georgia. You know, and yet you still got the Clemsons of the world ahead of them. That team is no joke. That team is no joke, and people need to pay a close attention to. Something else that I noticed, though, D, is how quiet the polls are on the teams out west. You know, your USC's because of Darnold, Washington. And Washington is a good football team, and they're going to be a good – Peterson is one hell of a coach, okay? He used to be the coach at Boise State. People don't understand. That team is going to be around every year. Just because you don't watch them on TV, don't sleep on that squad. Okay? That team was in the playoffs last year, very close this year. Obviously, they had some rebuilding to do. But there's another I'm often amazed at how quiet it is for those West Coast teams. And then I didn't hear Notre Dame there either. So, you know.
Yeah, they had Notre Dame at this poll I'm looking at here is Sports Illustrated. I've seen polls similar to this one. They had Notre Dame at 13.
Okay.
And I agree with you on the West Coast thing because it was Sumlin in Arizona. You know, he knows how to use talent. People be critical of him at Texas A&M, but that might be a good fit for him. USC got a lot of talent. They could turn the corner, like you said, with Washington. And I think Stanford, you know, they're going to have Bryce Love, I think, coming back. And so, and, you know, they can make a run. You know, they start out a little slow, but they can make a run. So, yeah, this is kind of early. There's going to be a lot of things that have to happen with spring ball. You know, we'll try to get some coaches on to share some stuff with us about it.
Let me ask this before we move on, though. Willie Taggart is at Oregon, okay? Willie Taggart is at Oregon. People fail to realize Willie Taggart was at Central Florida, okay? Or South Florida, should I say.
Willie Taggart. Yeah, Willie Taggart just went over to Florida State.
He went to Florida State? Okay.
Yeah, so
okay.
He just left. He left as part of that. So Oregon's got to regroup over there. I mean, that was the big buzz a little bit. So
I missed that one.
Taggart at Florida State with, you know, DeAndre Francois is, with all that talent they got, it could be, in the way he knows how to recruit Florida, Florida State might not be a joke. 19 is kind of low if he catches right. And he knows the state of Florida. So you're right. There's some people who are going to be some surprises around here. And I think that, you know, you're going to see some jockeying here early on. But it's just interesting to see how, you know, how things are evolving. Obviously, the top three teams they talk about, the top three on most people's polls, when you talk about Georgia, Alabama, Clemson, they're just reloading right now. And so somebody got to figure out how to break those three up. And there's some teams out here who can do that. So we'll keep an eye on a lot of the movement here in college football, a lot of coaches' movement happening. And, you know, I'm excited It's the off season to some of these sports have just become as interesting as the in season. So college football is no different. Listen to RSG One Mic with Hank and Devon. We'll talk a little bit of college sports here. When we come back, we're gonna get into the cipher. We're gonna talk about some NFL football and get into just the craziness that has been football here, where, you know, folks just got to do their job. And so we're gonna hit in on some of that, because we don't try to get these cats, some of these cats out here catching the mic, doing all that talking, and then going home early. On One Mic, we got some things to say about those kind of stuff when you out there like that, and then you don't hold up on that. Hank and I gonna put some words on you. If you'll do that. So when we come back here, we're gonna have some stuff about this stuff on the NFL and talk about that miracle in Minnesota.